The Old Testament reading for the third Sunday after the Epiphany is from 2 Kings chapter 5. Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and in high favor, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. Now the Syrians, on one of their raids, had carried off a little girl from the land of Israel, and she worked in the service of Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "Would that my lord were with the prophet who was in Samaria. He would cure him of his leprosy." So Naaman went in and told his lord. Thus and so spoke the girl from the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, "Go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So he went, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothes. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which read, "When this letter reaches you, know that I have sent to you Naaman, my servant, that you may cure him of his leprosy." And when the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man sends word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? Only consider and see how he is seeking a quarrel with me." But when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent to the king, saying, "Why have you torn your clothes? Let him come now to me, that he may know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean." But Naaman was angry and went away, saying, "Behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call upon the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and cure the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in rage. But his servants came near and said to him, "My father, it is a great word the prophet has spoken to you. Will you not do it? Has he actually said to you, 'Wash and be clean'?" So he went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God. And his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Then he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and he came and stood before him. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Romans chapter 12. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be conceited. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 8th chapter. When Jesus came down from the mountain, great crowds followed him. And behold, a leper came to him and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I will, be clean." And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a proof to them." When he entered Capernaum, a centurion came forward to him, appealing to him, "Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly." And he said to him, "I will come and heal him." But the centurion replied, "Lord, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. And I say to one, 'Go,' and he goes, and to another, 'Come,' and he comes. And to my servant, 'Do this,' and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who followed him, "Truly I tell you, with no one in Israel have I found such faith. I tell you, many will come from east and west and recline at table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, while the sons of the kingdom will be thrown into the outer darkness. And that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And to the centurion Jesus said, "Go, let it be done for you as you have believed." And the servant was healed at that very moment. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. During this time after the Epiphany of our Lord, you see Jesus manifested, or make known who he is as the Son of God. It's really what that word Epiphany means. We've seen even at the Epiphany as he is the Lord to the Gentiles when the Magi come and bow down and worship him and give him gifts. It was seen at the baptism of our Lord when the heavens were torn open, as Mark tells us. The Holy Spirit descended like a dove, and the Father said, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." It was seen last week when we had the wedding at Cana, when our Lord turned water into wine. And this was the first sign that he did, and he manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Our Lord makes known what he does and who he is. And we see then in this world, creation groans. It cries out for that day when all is made new. Man yearns for the day when sickness is no more, when suffering no more, persecution no more, temptation is no more, sin is no more, the devil, his assaults, his lies are no more, and yes, even when death is no more. That day is on the horizon, and it's coming. And God's people pray it comes sooner rather than later. So to be in this world then until the Lord returns is to be where all these things which we long to end are still around and assail us. Martin Luther, in his hymn, In the Very Midst of Life, he speaks about these things, such as sin, death, God's wrath, and the fires of hell. The hymn ends each stanza with, Have mercy, O Lord. And that's what we need. We need God's mercy. We need him to do what only he can do, for without the Lord, without his work for us in Christ, we are lost forever. All this he did and has authority to do so. And he makes this known as he is among his people. And we see this theme through chapters 8 and 9 of Matthew's gospel as well. So here then we come to our gospel reading for today, from Matthew chapter 8. And all these things are vivid in this image of these two miracles worked by Jesus. Here you see more of Jesus manifesting his glory as he comes into this world, into this creation that groans out and yearns for the day of redemption. He cleanses a leper. He heals a sick servant of the centurion. And the Lord reveals himself to be the one who has come to heal and to save and has done it. So listen again to that first miracle recorded by St. Matthew. When Jesus came down from the mountain, great crowds followed him. And behold, a leper came to him and knelt before him, saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I will be clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a proof to them. So here's this leper, and Jesus touched him, and he healed him. We know all too well that touching a leper would have made Jesus unclean, but he did so in order that the leper would be healed and he was cleansed. See this mercy of Jesus manifest. The Lord entered into the world where leprosy and sorts of diseases, infirmities infect people and infect all sorts of suffering, inflict all sorts of suffering, all sorts of death. And what remains in this world around us and in the gospel reading we see. But here the Lord is, right before this leper. And he entered when he took on human flesh only without sin to dwell among his people. Because the work of redemption, being bought back from sin, death, and the devil, is no walk in the park. Jesus knew this, and he went headlong into doing it. It's dirty, it's unclean, it's messy, and it comes at a cost. But seeing Jesus work this miracle makes known to you him who does restore, who does recreate, even as all things have been created by and through him. Every miracle of Jesus in the Gospels points to Jesus as the Son of God, and it points you to that day when all sin, when all suffering and death are no more. So every time we hear these miracles, we ask that question, so what now? It's always well and good to hear the miracles, but what does this mean for us still living here in the now when sin clings to us and there is still sickness, there is still suffering, there's still death among us when we look around and it seems to be at every turn of every corner? Well, Matthew goes on in the next miracle to teach you exactly what this means. And it's seen in an unlikely source, a centurion, a Gentile. Listen again to what Jesus did and spoke. When Jesus entered Capernaum, a centurion came forward to him, appealing to him, Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home and suffering terribly. And he said to him, I will come and heal him. But the centurion replied, "Lord, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say the word and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man under authority with soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who followed him, "Truly I tell you, with no one in Israel have I found such faith." So now then, here's this centurion, this one who commands soldiers, one who has great authority. He comes in Jesus, to Jesus. But what? In humility. Asking Jesus to heal his paralyzed servant. Jesus offers to go to his house, but the centurion, knowing that Jesus would be unclean if he entered his house, knows that even just at the word of Jesus, his servant would be healed. He trusted God to act, and to act through his word. He doesn't make demands of Jesus. He looks to Jesus in humility, trusting he will do what only he can do. Now that's quite the contrast, especially from Naaman in the Old Testament reading. What did he do when Elijah told him to go wash in the Jordan? Right, Naaman, that great man of great valor, mighty man. Well, we're told, but Naaman was angry and went away saying, "Behold, I thought he would surely come out and say to me and stand and call upon the name of the Lord as God and wave his hand over the place and cure the lepers. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned away and went in rage. So Naaman's response was not humility, not to trust the word of God, but it was pride. He wanted God to work on his terms, according to his way, how he wanted things to be, how he often would probably operate in life. But that's different than the centurion who said, "Lord, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say the word and my servant will be healed." So what is Jesus teaching you in all of this? Well, when Jesus heard this of the centurion, he marveled and said to those who followed him, "Truly I tell you, with no one in Israel have I found such faith. I tell you, many will come from east and west and recline at table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, while the sons of the kingdom will be thrown into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And to the centurion Jesus said, "Go, let it be done for you as you have believed." And the servant was healed at that very moment. So Jesus marvels at the faith of this centurion, this Gentile's faith. How well that fits into this Epiphany season. So the centurion fixed his eyes on Jesus. He trusted the Lord to work. He was believing his word. Great indeed was the faith of this man. And you see here that the Lord teaches you what your faith is to look like, or rather, to whom you are to look as you go through this world, through this fallen creation. So in the very midst of life, as you go day by day, you have Christ and his salvation. And you see this forms your actions, your thinking, what you say, and even your whole life. Because it is a tiring thing to look around you. And you see so many things. You see sickness, you see illness, you see suffering, you see war, you see rumors of war, you see insert whatever. And what sin, the devil, and the fallen world would have you do is to see those things, look at them, be anxious, be crippled in fear, and take your eyes off of Christ. And not think about and trust in the future you have in him. And so God calls you to repentance. Because it's tempting as well to be like Naaman, to try to define your life in terms of God in ways you think are right, ways you think are good. Sin wants to put God in your life in ways that you can manage and are convenient. Your sinful man wants God to be some household God you can pull out of your back pocket when the going gets tough or when you want to try and rationalize your life as being justified because maybe you're so busy, there's so much going on, the illness is too great, or you just have issues that no one else could understand. But a life not lived in faith toward Christ is a life that despises preaching, despises God's word. The opposite of living by faith and humility toward God and confidence in his word is a life lived in pride toward oneself and deaf to God. But God sees through all of that. Just as Jesus marveled at the faith of the centurion, he also marveled at the unbelief of the people in Mark chapter 6. In your life, you go through this world and you are confronted with God and his work. So as a Christian, the Lord places his word before you and he calls you to faithfulness. He preaches to you this very day and put these two miracles where he makes known his glory. He calls you at times to close your mouth and obey what he teaches, casting aside your own understanding, looking instead to his wisdom, to his counsel. And still, even then, at times, the days come along and you think, well, that's fine and good until the things go south or sideways pretty quickly. It's one thing to say you believe God's word and think you believe that God hears and answers your prayers, and then, yet again, the cancer spreads, you get laid off work, your kids leave the faith, or you look at your life and you just see how many people have hurt you or sinned against you, and just in the course of a few days, even from Sunday to Sunday. And then that's where Naaman comes in, and you get angry when you don't get the response that you're wanting. Not like the centurion of Lord have mercy. When you cry out to God and there appears to be no answer, when there appears to be no end to suffering, then that's when that old man kicks in. He starts saying things like, aren't the rivers in our own land far better than what God has commanded? The devil and his lies start to creep into hearts like Adam and Eve. We begin to start thinking, maybe God didn't really say. Maybe those miracles I heard of the leper and the centurion servant are really not for me. Or maybe those are just made up or what, any number of things. No, hear the word of God. Keep the word of God. Trust and cling to the word of God. So the marvelous thing about that centurion's faith is he knows exactly who he is and who the Lord is standing before him. The object of the centurion's faith is great. It's Jesus. And that's an important thing for you to think about these things this morning. How great is your faith? Well, in a sense, that's the wrong question to ask. The better question is, who is Jesus? What has he done? A great faith never says, my faith this or my faith that. A great faith instead looks outside of yourself in all times and circumstances and says, Lord, have mercy upon me. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. You are the Christ. Your will be done. You are my confidence. You are my righteousness. You are my hope. You are my salvation. And so, dear saints of God, your Lord Jesus Christ is here today. And he makes known, he manifests his glory. He comes with healing. He comes under the roof of this place as you have him in his word and sacraments. An ancient prayer before receiving the Lord's Supper uses language from this reading. It says, I shall receive the bread of heaven and call upon the name of the Lord. I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but speak the word only and my soul shall be healed. May the body of our Lord Jesus Christ preserve my soul into life everlasting. And that's something for you to marvel at as you behold Jesus today. The Lord has reached out his hand and he's placed it upon you because he has taken your sin upon himself and he forgives you by the shedding of his blood. And yes, you are washed clean, and the waters God has appointed you for which are the waters of holy baptism. To say that God's own child, I gladly say it, as the school kid sang so beautifully a few minutes ago, to have that confidence, to marvel at Jesus who has done wondrous things for you and still does. And so like the centurion, you know that you're not worthy of anything that the Lord has done or continues to do in your life. Yet the Lord has shown you mercy. He willingly comes to you through his means. In times of suffering, in times of cross and trial, he's also with you and promises that there will come a day when all of these things will end. You see these miracles as a glimpse then into your future when sin and all of its wages come to an end and there will be nothing but eternal joy. That is manifested. That is made known to you That is your hope as you see the Lord cleanse lepers and heal the servant of the centurion. This is the confidence you have as you go through life bearing the cross and saying, the will of God is always best. And so Jesus is God in the flesh. Not only that, but he cares for you, his creatures. He's taken your iniquity. He's taken your infirmities on himself and as the anointed one and the substitute to suffer God's wrath and pay the price that you owe. And he does it in your place. And so as you go through this world, your sin is forgiven. And you go through it as one who has eternal cleansing, eternal healing, and eternal life. Though the times of trial and suffering may be great, the Lord is greater still in giving you the victory over those things. You have eternal life in Christ, and that means everything. You see, Jesus will raise your body from the grave on the last day. Jesus will create a new heaven and a new earth, free from sin, free from suffering, free from the assaults of the devil and death. Fix your eyes on Christ. Know what you have. Know what awaits you. Cling to those promises that in your baptism, God has washed away your sin, that he's rescued you from death and the devil, and has given you eternal salvation. Cling to those words spoken to you that your sin is forgiven. Feast at the supper of your Lord, taking into your mouth the true body and blood of Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and where there is forgiveness of sins, there is life and salvation. Pray to the Lord without ceasing, knowing the Lord does hear and answer your prayers according to his good and gracious will. Look to that day when you are raised and you will be with the Lord and all of God's saints in that new creation forever. Your Lord Jesus is manifested today, and he knows you. And God marvels at you as you behold him in faith. The Father sees Jesus who has atoned for your sin, and for his sake you are righteous in your sight. That means absolutely everything as you sit here right now and as you go from this place this morning. The Lord calls you his own. He guides you through this life through his word. Always set that before you and go to where he has promised to be. Confess your sin, crucify that old man who would have it your way. Instead, go to God's means of grace, find consolation and peace. Always hear and cling to those words of promise. Your Lord Jesus is made known, and he has shown mercy to you, a sinner. You are not worthy that he should come under your roof, but he has come, and he's here. So hear his word, take and eat his body and blood. Cling to Christ who has done all things well. Marvel at him who is your Lord, who looks at you now and says, go, let it be done for you as you have believed. And know the day is coming when you will stand before him face to face in a glory beyond compare. On that day, the eternal day when you are raised from your grave, you will marvel at your Lord and all that is yours forever. Amen. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.